What we're going to look at today for our lesson is certainly not something that is new to Bible students. Most of you have been members of the Lord's Church for some time, and you have studied Acts 17 that has to do with God's noble-minded. Someone once said there are three ways to teach. Rob probably knows what they are. That's repetition, repetition, and repetition. And so we will repeat some prayerfully. We'll bring out some points that we have not discussed before. Paul goes to two cities, Thessalonica and Berea. And depending on whose information you use, these are 40 to 60 miles apart. Paul goes to both of these cities and he preaches the same gospel in both places. The Jews in Thessalonica reject it. Now again, all Bible students know that Paul wrote two letters to the Thessalonians, but there were only a small, very small portion that believed what Paul said and therefore obeyed. The majority did not. They rejected it. Why? Why would the Jews at Berea, or why would anybody anywhere totally reject what a preacher might preach? The same preacher go to another place and preach the same thing, and those people accept it. That's exactly what happened in this case. The Jews in Thessalonica totally rejected Paul's preaching. But when he gets over to Berea, he meets an entirely different audience. He meets an audience with an attitude that they want to know what God says. And that will make the difference. The Bible says the Jews at Berea were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. The mind, of course, is our intellectual power. That's what we think with. That's what we get our understanding. The Jews at Thessalonica meet Paul's message with firm hostility. They refuse to consider it at all. They fix their undivided attention on that aspect of it that most offended their prejudice. Now that word prejudice, all of you know what it means. I had to look it up in the dictionary. Oh, I've used it a lot of times. But I didn't know that the explanation for prejudice was that long. Look up in the dictionary it is. It means a judgment or an opinion formulated before all of the facts are known. A preconceived idea, a judgment or an opinion held in disregard for facts. And that's exactly what the Thessalonians did. They're predetermined. Their prejudice would not allow them to hear what Paul was saying. The people over in Berea did not have that mindset. They wanted to know what the Bible taught, and therefore they gave audience to the Apostle Paul. Those in Thessalonica, all they'll do is oppose. Ever seen any brethren like that? Unfortunately, there are some. It doesn't make any difference what is suggested. There's a lot of ginners. These brethren in Thessalonica were ginners. The study of the Old Testament had produced in those in Berea a different attitude and a different disposition. Therefore, they were prepared to learn. Learn that a new and an amazing developments have been ordained of God for Israel. This readiness to listen with patience and to examine with candor is a special claim that the Bereans had as being noble. Now the Greek word that's used here literally means gentleman. Let's notice a few things. First of all, the Jewish brethren at Berea listened with all readiness of mind. Paul's preaching, he's teaching. He has their attention. They are ready to hear what he has to say. It makes a great deal of difference how we listen to anything that's presented. And that's especially true when it comes to God's Word. Here indeed was a commendable audience. They had a wonderful spirit. They had gone to the synagogue or their place of worship. And they study for the right purpose. They attend for the right purpose. And they have the right attitude. That doesn't make some difference. It makes all of the difference as far as our learning is concerned. A parallel example in the Bible would be Cornelius. You remember what Cornelius said to Peter when Peter got to his house in Acts 10 and verse 33. He said, "We are all present before God to hear all of the things commanded you by God." All here. Oftentimes, some think others ought to be there. Oh, they need to hear. But they don't think it's important for themselves. Some parents think the children ought to go to Bible school. That's terribly important. But they don't see the necessity for attending Bible class themselves. There are a lot of men that think that men and women surely need to go. But they don't see themselves as needing the same things. Cornelius said, "We're all here. We're present before God." For what purpose? To hear all things that God has commanded you. The Bereans were ready to hear whatever Paul taught them. Some people, like the Thessalonians, are going to reject whatever is taught for a lot of different reasons. Some may not like the speaker. Therefore, whatever is said, regardless whether it's good or bad, regardless of whether it's God's word or not, they're just not going to pay much attention. Sometimes the things said by the preacher do not meet their preconceived ideas, and therefore they're rejecting. Sometimes some might think that speaker is not as eloquent as he ought to be. And so they pay very little, if any, attention to what's said. Paul had a lot to say to the Corinthians about this kind of an attitude. Turn over to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, start with verse 1. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul was not trying to gather a following. He was not trying to present himself or speak in a way that would attract attention to himself. "I just want to do one thing," he says. "I want to preach Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration, the Spirit and the power." Verse 5 gives the reason. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." There are a number of hindrances that one must get rid of if we're going to have the readiness of mind that the Bereans had in order to hear God's word. Let's start with opinions. We all have opinions, and we're all entitled to our opinions, except when God expresses His opinion. In that case, all others are null and void. Stubbornness. Open Matthew 13 and verse 15 we read, "For the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears they are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, yet lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ear, and should understand with their hearts, and should turn, and I should heal them." Now this is the preacher of all preachers. This is the teacher of all teachers, Christ Jesus Himself. And yet He was having the very same difficulty that Paul was having with the Thessalonians. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, ran at Him with one accord. Now this was what the Jews did when Stephen tried to preach to them. They didn't want to hear what Stephen was saying. And so if you don't want to hear, you cannot make a person hear. If a person has no will, no desire to understand, you're not going to make them understand. Why wouldn't they listen to Stephen? Because what Stephen was preaching was a description of what they were. They knew that. What Stephen was saying was touching their hearts. They knew that they were guilty. Now, instead of doing like the Bereans and crying out like others did on the day of Pentecost, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Oh, no, no, no. We're going to kill this preacher. We're going to get rid of him. We don't have to listen to him. And you remember that they stoned Stephen. Pride and prejudice kept them from hearing. And they were the last ones to do that when the gospel is preached. Now we mentioned the Thessalonians. They had the same attitude. And they were not the last ones to react the way they did. Over in John 8 and verse 33 we read, they answered him, this will be the Lord, "We are Abraham's descendants." Well, that was true. "We've never been in bondage to anyone. How is it that you say you will be made free?" Because of pride and prejudice, we're God's people. They wouldn't accept the Lord's preaching. And they made an erroneous statement. "We have never been in bondage." When in reality, they'd been in bondage many times to their enemies. And they were in bondage at that very moment to sin. The Lord said to them in the 43rd verse, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word." Why couldn't they listen to God's word? Pride. Prejudice. In the 47th verse, the Lord makes this statement. "He that is of God hears God's word. Therefore you do not hear them, because you are not of God." In order to have a readiness of mind, we have to have a sincere desire for a knowledge of the truth. And then once we have gained, we've heard, then we need to accompany that by an application of what we've heard. You remember James said over in James chapter 1, about 22 following, he says there that be doers of the word. You've heard the word. What does it say to do it? Go do it. Don't just be hearers of the word. The second thing the Bereans did, and the thing that the Thessalonians were not willing to do, was they searched the Scripture. Why did they search the Scripture? Do you suppose that Paul, in his preaching, had failed to thoroughly explain what he was saying? Why would it be necessary for them first to listen to Paul and then go and search the Scripture? Was not Paul an apostle? You know, there are a lot of people who take it for granted, anything that the preacher says. And in fact, they seem to think that it's being rather presumptuous on their part to check what he say. Look for themselves. I don't know of anything that will get us into trouble any faster than just to assume that all preachers and Bible class teachers know everything that they're talking about. Now, I'm not suggesting that any preacher, any Bible class teacher, will willingly preach error. That's not a blanket condemnation of any preacher or any teacher. What I'm saying is that regardless of how honest and how loyal one might be, there is always the possibility, and it's certainly true for me, I might not understand all that I'm talking about. If you get yourselves two or more commentaries and look up any controversial verse, you're going to get two or three answers depending on how many commentaries you've got. That does not mean that the men that wrote them commentaries are necessarily dishonest. They're writing from their particular view. And whatever denomination they belong to is going to shade their view. They're being dishonest to the Word, but in their hearts, they don't intend to be dishonest, but they are mistreating God's Word. Never forget, the Bible is its own best commentary. Now, sometimes you look at a particular verse that happens to be controversial, and the Holy Spirit will only speak to that verse one time, whatever the verse says. And you can look from Genesis to the Revelation and you will not find any reference to it again. In that case, we're just going to have to wait till we get to heaven and ask the Holy Spirit what He meant. But those particular incidents have nothing to do whatsoever with coming to a knowledge of God's Word. Having heard it, we can embrace it, be faithful to it, and go to heaven. But there are different views concerning various verses. I've never known a Bible preacher or teacher who was trying to be loyal and honest to that position who would not change their position in light of new evidence. In fact, that's the mark of a great teacher. There is not one person on the face of the earth that does not daily need to search the Scriptures, and certainly there is not one member of the Lord's body who does not need daily to search the Scriptures. Every problem that the church has is a teaching problem. Number one, sufficient teaching has not been given on that subject. Or number two, the teaching that has been done is erroneous. Neither of these situations can exist if the Lord's people will be noble-minded, search with all readiness of mind, search the Scripture daily to see if these things are be so. The Bereans searched the Scriptures for a number of reasons. These reasons are to also be our reasons. They are to prevail in our lives. Number one, they searched daily because they regarded the Scriptures as God's Word. They knew there was a God of heaven. They knew that the God of heaven had spoken in the scriptures, and when he spoke, it was coming directly from God. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, Paul affirms in 2 Timothy. That literally means that God literally breathed it. They knew that their God was the only and one God. They were well aware that other gods existed and that other people worshiped these other gods. They knew that there had been times in their lives when the nation of Israel as a whole had worshiped other gods. But experience had taught them that their God was the God, the only God of heaven and earth. They knew, therefore, what Paul was teaching was from God, and they would be able to find it in the scripture. If a man gets up and preaches, and you do your due, your daily search, and you can't find it in the scripture, what does that make that preacher? A false preacher. No person who loves God's word. Now, we are all capable of making mistakes, and oh, I have made a lot of them. And I do. But when something is pointed out to me that I'm in error, then I am willing to change. If I don't change, if I hold on to that whatever it was, I will not see heaven. I don't know if all preachers really realize the responsibility that they have to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Whole congregations have followed false teachers. I do not want to stand before God on the day of judgment and be responsible for having led anyone into error. I just don't want to do that. That would just kill me. It's one thing if I'm in error and if I miss heaven. But if I've taught somebody else error and they're going to miss heaven too, I could not live with that. We all need to go to that one source that they had access to. We have access to the same source. I think it's rather commendable of the Bereans that they didn't just take Paul's word at face value, without making any search of the scripture. And that ought to forever be an example to you and me. Paul had something to say to the Galatians along these lines. Turn over to Galatians chapter 1. And let's read verse 6 down through 10. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that calls you into the grace of Christ unto another. And it is rather marvelous that even people who have studied the Bible for a while can so quickly be changed by a persuasive speaker. Paul said, I just marvel that you've done this. Which is not another. There's only one gospel. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. What does accursed mean? It means totally cut off from God. Now notice what he says. Though we would be a fellow preacher, a fellow human being, or an angel from heaven. You ever know anybody that talks to angels? Oh, yeah. There's people that talk to angels all the time. Well, what did Paul by inspiration say? If you listen to anyone, I don't care whether it's a human being, whether it's an angel, I don't care whether you had a nightmare or whatever it happened to be. If anyone tries to teach you anything but what this book says, and how are you going to know? How can you tell if that preacher is preaching the truth or not? That Bible class teacher, is he teaching the truth? Your friend that's supposed to be helping you understand the Bible, can you know whether or not they're telling the truth? Paul says you can. Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And he is so serious, he repeats, as we said before, say now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you, then you have received, let him be accursed. For I do now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. Can you know for an absolute certainty whether what you're hearing from anybody is the truth or not? Again, the Berean searched on a daily basis. Why? If we search daily, that's going to take our time. It's going to take our energy. Why should we spend our time and our energy searching the Scripture? Have you ever heard someone say, I just don't have time to study? Oh yeah, people say that. Let me suggest to you that if we don't take the time, everybody has 24 hours a day. God made 24 hours. Nobody but nobody has more time than the other person has. It's just that a lot of time we just not use our time wisely. Let me suggest something to you and you make it a habit. I don't know what time you get up in the morning. I don't know what your daily routine is. I don't care. But just get up 1 hour earlier than you usually do. Get your Bible out. Set your coffee cup down there and go to study. Make that a daily habit. And if you'll practice it for a while, it will become a habit. The Bereans realize, and you and I should realize, that our eternal destiny is at stake. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18 reads, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes it, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. In other words, to any and everybody that will study it and accommodate themselves to it. Now, there's a lot of ways to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Indifference to study is just one of them. Proverbs 23 and verse 23 says, get the truth, sell it not. Get wisdom, instruction, and understanding. What does that verse suggest to you and me? A persistence in our church. Now open your Bibles to Psalms 119. We want to read the first 16 verses. Psalms 119, beginning at the first verse. We might want to cut across, Shorty. Let's see if it's verse. Quite a lot of verses. Maybe we can save some time. Drop down to verse 41. Psalm 119, verse 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word? So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. Oh, how rich. I want an understanding, God, for a number of reasons. First of all, so I can accommodate myself to it, and so that I'll have answers for that smart aleck that's trying to tell me something different. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I'm looking for them. I want them. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up thy commandments that I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou caused me to hope. This is my comfort, my affliction. Thy word has quickened me. Quickened means alive. How is he alive? He's alive spiritually. Why? Because he's got God's word. He's searching it. He's finding in it life. The proud have made me greatly in derision, but I have not declined thy law. I remember thy statutes, O Lord. O Lord, they have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wickedness that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, and the night have kept thy law. This I had because I kept those statutes. What will you have if you meditate upon God's law? What are you going to have that those outside of Christ who care nothing for God's word or don't have? What do you have? Paul expressed it this way, a peace of mind that passes all understanding. Why do you have that? Other people don't have it. You, a faithful child of God, you have it. Why? Because you search the scriptures. You know in your heart of hearts whether you're living up to them or not, or doing the best you can to do that. What does that bring you? That brings you a peace of mind that says to you, I'm right with my Creator. And when I read that Revelation letter 21 and verse 4, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more heartache. The former things have all passed away. That's for me. The world doesn't know anything about that. What do they usually do? Oh, they live in a high-pressure situation. They're under extreme pressure one way or another, trying to get by and do this or do that. The Christian has peace of mind. Why? Because just like the psalmist, he wants a knowledge of God's word. Now, there's 176 verses in that 119th psalm. And every one of them deals with the desire that the psalmist had for wanting to know God's will so that he could conform to it. He doesn't just want it for information. He wants to direct his life by it. Oh, we need that every bit as much as he did. If we just had a fraction of that kind of determination, the attitude, it doesn't make any difference, would completely disappear. The Bereans didn't search the scriptures looking for some proof text to prove their position. They didn't search from a vague sense of duty. And they didn't just read so many verses every day. There's a vast difference between reading and study. But they searched. For what purpose? Not whether they like Paul's doctrine or not. Whether or not their parents believed it or not. They searched to see whether or not it was the truth, regardless of the cost. They knew that if what Paul was preaching was the truth, then they're going to have to change their position. The Bible doesn't say exactly what Paul preached to the Bereans, but the third verse of chapter says what he preached to the Thessalonians. And Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scripture, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." Or, he preached Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Paul affirms of himself that he preached the same thing in all of the congregations. Whatever the message was that Paul preached to the Thessalonians, in all probability, it is the same thing he preached everywhere he went. The 11th verse says, they searched the Scripture daily to find out if those things were so. The 12th verse says, therefore, when they found out they were true, what? Therefore, many of them believed. Believed what? The truth, God's Word. Jesus had this to say about truth and God's Word. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. Here's another way the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians and a lot of others. They studied daily. They didn't make just a few quick reference checks to find out and say, okay, you're right or wrong. I don't know what the time frame was between verses 11 and 12, but there was a lot of study that took place in that. They went to the right source. They searched the Scripture. They weren't interested in what some man had to say. They wanted to know the truth. When they found out what Paul was preaching was the truth, they embraced it. Whenever there is error, it may not be some teacher's fault. He or she may be teaching the truth all the time. It's just that not all people are noble-minded like the Bereans were. A lot of them are like Thessalonians. One verse, John 12 and verse 44, and we'll conclude. To reject God's Word is to reject Christ Himself. To reject Christ is to reject eternal life. The Lord said in John 12:48, he that rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Oh, it behooves us to be as noble-minded as the Bereans were. And that's our lesson. If you're accepting the Lord's invitation, we'd certainly encourage you to respond to His invitation. And it is His invitation, not ours.